I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament, to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 17, and I will conclude with verse number 32. And I invite you to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 17. Now from Miletus, he, that is the Apostle Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. When they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you from the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men, speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, Lord Jesus, we, as your bride, as your body, as your church, ask that you will help us this year take these truths to heart and to grow in our understanding of how precious the church is to you, how precious she is for us, how invaluable and indispensable she is in carrying out your plan to raise up a people all over this world for your name. And Lord, we ask that this year you will help us lay aside every sin that's dragging us down, we might press on as pilgrims for Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The message this morning is a little unusual in that I'm not taking a text. This is my normal habit, and explaining that text and preaching through a book. In fact, next week I will begin a new series in the book of Hebrews. But this morning what I'm doing is keeping a promise that I made to you back in November. And that promise is to unpack for you what we are attempting to accomplish in this year as a church. I want to encourage you. I want to inform you. I want to see us united in our understanding and in our passion around the priorities that we have for this year. I'm going to ask if the men who are currently serving as elders, if you would stand. Brothers, the passage that we just read together, while it has great, great value for our family, it is personal for us. This is our task to shepherd this flock and guard them. And God has given us a good family to do that. And God, His flock, He has given us a good team of brothers who serve as the shepherds of this congregation. And I am grateful to be part of this team. Brothers, you may be seated. I also want to thank Bob Clark and Jason Wood, whose term has just expired as elders, serving the last 3 years very faithfully on our behalf as well. In the film, Searching for Bobby Fischer, it tells the story of a young chess genius named Max, who at the age of 7 begins his assault on the world of chess. In one particularly intense scene, Max is playing against another boy in a championship match, while the parents and coaches are observing that match via closed-circuit television from an adjacent room. And with only a small number of pieces having been captured by either player, Max, after studying the board for a minute, calmly extends his hand to his opponent. "What are you doing?" the other boy asks. "I'm offering you a draw," Max replies. Stunned and insulted, the boy exclaims, "But the game isn't over yet." Max says, "Yes, it is. Trust me." Because having determined not only his next series of moves, but every possible countermove and scenario of defense, this young prodigy knew that the game was effectively over. And while the pieces had not actually been played out in terms of their destinies, this was simply a formality. The victory was in hand. Max was just trying to save time. Almost 2,000 years ago, on the cross, Christ triumphantly announced, "Game over. It's finished." The exclamation point to that announcement came the moment when Christ arose from the dead. The game's over, but we play on. And we play on with joy at His victory. We play on with focus on His plan. We play on with confidence in His work. We play on with trust in His instructions as to how we are to play on. And this morning I want to lay out for you some goals that the leadership desires to see accomplished this year. But what I want you to understand is that these goals are not the things that we are attempting to do because somehow God's plan is all resting upon us. No, it's because God has accomplished His work that we live and respond and rejoice and serve and are faithful in light of that. The elders gathered for a series of meetings recently. Meetings that were encouraging and humbling because the love and the commitment of God that He has for the church family was pressed freshly into our souls by the Scriptures. And what I'm going to do here this morning is string together some of those texts that we looked at and just tried to allow our souls to be marinated in them. Texts that remind us of the high esteem that God places upon the church of God, which He obtained with His own blood. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And He, the Father, put all things under His, that is the Son's, feet, and gave Him, Christ, as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Christ loved the church, gave Himself up for her that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You are called. You were called in one body. Now you are the body of Christ. You are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are God's temple. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I had a wedding yesterday. For most couples, the wedding seems like it takes forever to come. And then suddenly it's there and panic sets in. You know, God made Christian marriage to reflect the great marriage. And this is what God has to say about our marriage, our ultimate wedding. I'm reading from Revelation 19. But the great multitude in heaven says, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt." E-X-U-L-T. You know that word, exalt? It means to lift and enjoy. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready. That's our responsibility. Then these words that I love to read to you, that I do often through the course of the year, beginning in verse 11. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And brothers and sisters, that's what we call game over. The game is effectively over, but we're called to play on. And our mission to press on in view of His victory that is assured is what I'm addressing this morning. How is the church supposed to press on? How are we supposed to press on? Especially in view of the fact that you hear in the culture how so many say that the church is antiquated, it is irrelevant, it is so unappealing that in order for the church to be successful, that the church must reinvent itself. It needs to find out what's working on Wall Street. Okay, forget that. Or it needs to find out what's working in Washington, D.C. Okay, really forget that. It needs to figure out what's working on Main Street and copy that. You know, we got to look to the world somehow and find out what they're doing so that we can see what is successful there, and then we will mimic that, which is a tacit admission on the part of those people that they really do not believe in the message of the gospel, nor in the God-ordained means by which the work of the gospel is to be carried out. So when we ask the question, how is the church supposed to carry its mission in view of the victory that has been assured, we don't have to come up with some new strategy that the church is called to pursue. In fact, our strategy, quite honestly, appears to be rather uncool, unsophisticated, institutional, and dated. And we're happy about that. Because that's what God has established. It's one of the reasons why when the gospel hijacks a person's life in the way in which God does it, He gets the glory. It's certainly not our methods. We are given very explicit orders for what our priorities and values and actions are to be. So once again, I'm going to string together a series of passages to just give you a sampling of what I mean by that. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Praying at all times in the Spirit, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Pray without ceasing. I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together, encouraging one another. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. But you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Brothers and sisters, in a sentence, our strategy is rather simple. Preach, pray, disciple, be the church. It spreads the kingdom. It is a strategy that's ordained by God. We cannot change it. We are not embarrassed by it. And so for us, the question is not so much, what are we supposed to do, since that has already been made clear from the Scriptures, but the question for us is, how can we do that in a more God-honoring manner? And so therefore, we're summarizing our goals for this year around three areas that we are pursuing. Three areas that are driven by the implications of the gospel on which we stand. Unity, strength, and growth. The message of the gospel is the message of how in Christ God and sinners are reconciled, and only by means of Christ, because of His perfectly righteous life and because of the infinite value of His sacrificial death, can our sins be paid for and we be declared righteous. It is Christ, through Christ, that there is a unity between God and people. But that unity, brothers and sisters, is glorious. That unity is powerful. That unity is rare. It's unity with God that allows us to have what the world cannot achieve. Our world is rallying right now because of an enormous catastrophe that has taken place in Haiti. But our world can't get along. Only when we are faced with huge problems can we temporarily meet those needs. The church is different. We are unified, not because of what we are against, because of just problems that are in this world. We are unified in Christ. And since we are called to make disciples, to participate in ministry that expands the borders of the gospel through church life, that adorns the gospel by our lives, through church planting. As the elders, we've looked at our own body and say, okay, what do we need to do in order to carry that out more effectively this year? So our objective for this year is to take a major step forward in unifying, in strengthening, in growing our church family in order to position ourselves in such a way that we're able to affect our community with the gospel, assist other churches with leadership, and be ready to support more of our own missionaries. A church can grow as the result of problems or weaknesses of other churches in the area. When that happens, all that is transfer growth. And when that happens, though the church that's getting bigger may pride itself on its numerical increase, if it's doing so at the expense of gospel life in the community, then the whole area is being weakened. That's not God's plan. Now, there are times when there are churches who are become ashamed of the gospel. There are times in which our churches who starve their people from a diet that is rich in biblical content. And that is a tragedy, but it does happen. And when that happens, we will be a refuge, a resource, and a people of renewal for those who come here because of that. But that is sad. What we would rather see are churches in our area strong and vibrant in the gospel. And so our desire is to be like an Antioch church that is pouring out into others. An Antioch church that was economically and culturally and racially diverse, that was astounding in those days. The body life in the Antioch church was vibrant. Their teaching, their worship was rich. And God raised up the people in that church in order to send them out to strengthen the other churches, send them out to start other churches. That's our vision. And while some of that is already happening as part of our ministry here, we just want to see that accelerated. And so what we've done is I've identified a few rocks that are in the stream that are causing unnecessary ripples and slowing down the flow, if you know what I mean. So in order for us to be in a position where we can help strengthen the gospel in other churches locally and globally, we need to address a few matters here at home. First of all, We want to see greater unity within the body. And we recognize that the key to that is coming back to the gospel. Because it is the gospel that binds us together in Christ. It is the gospel that humbles us. And it is humility, teachability, sensitivity, willingness to learn, willingness to be corrected, willingness to listen, willingness to have good conversations and to understand each other, that is so critical to the life of the church. And so we recognize that the leadership hasn't done a real good job in the past of communicating with you. How can we all stay on the same page if we're not printing the page and sending it out? You know what I mean? So one of the things that we want to do, and it's just a few simple things that I think will really facilitate some better communication with the congregation within and with the leadership as well. So one thing we're going to do is just start some weekly updates. And we're going to do this by means of a blog that I write every week, or that is written by others. Something that those of you that have internet access, which is most of you, can sign up for it, and it will come to you every week. And you will be given not only events that are taking place, but a look behind the scenes as to what's going on within the body life of the church. What are the things that we are concerned about, praying over, rejoicing in, but just keeping you aware of the pulse of the church family here. And those of you without internet access, we will have that printed weekly, available at guest services for you to pick up. We want you to be, this is your church, we want you to know it and love it. Also, we want to do a better job in our family meetings, which are quarterly, of planning them, communicating with you ahead of time so you know the times, you know the topics, the agenda as much as possible, so that there's plenty of time ahead to be able to have conversations about issues that may come up that you have questions about. And along with that, we want to formally increase our elder availability. So what we want to do is let you know of the meeting times of when our elders gather together to meet, which is typically the second Monday night of the month at 7 o'clock. But at 6 o'clock, we're going to have at least three elders available, always for anybody who wants to come by, pray, anybody who wants to come by and talk and maybe get any questions answered. We'll have some other times as well. But we also want to structure the elder meetings in such a way that any member of the church that wants to can come and sit and observe, so you can see and hear the care that these brothers have for the flock. Second thing we want to focus on this year is strengthening the body. Part of the process that we go through as elders, as we look at the health of the church, is we try to examine, okay, what are our strengths as a church? What are the weaknesses here? And we want to look at some of the things that we believe that God has gifted this church with. And we try to say, okay, how can we most effectively leverage those for the sake of the gospel in this world? What should we do about that? What resources that God has given to us that we need to use? For example, we looked at the fact that we're located in an urban setting that gives us great opportunity to reflect the body of Christ simply in ways that other churches can't. And so one of the things in which we want to strengthen the body this year is in our diversity. And we're asking God to strengthen our commitment to the gospel in such a way that we enjoy the fruit of that in a church that has a wonderful racial diversity. Pray that in our context, we can put God's glory on display by modeling one holy race at the foot of the cross. And I don't say this to chastise you at all, because I have nothing but commendation for you. Over and over, I have seen the way in which so many of you have desired to put that on display. I'm just encouraging you to keep on and to call out to the Lord of the harvest and the Lord of this church that He will be pleased to call to this flock people in such a way that we can model for our broken and angry and hateful community what the power of the gospel can do. But also, we want to see strengthened our mercy ministry. Oh my goodness, this has been such an encouragement in recent years. Your ministry with McRest has really been a launching pad. McRest, for those of you that aren't familiar, is 1 week of the year we provide food and shelter for those who are homeless, who take up residence right within our facility, and it gives us an opportunity to feed, to come alongside, to serve people who are in really needy situations. That has given rise to some other things, but another area of mercy ministry that has arisen within the church family is the Good Samaritan team that has gone out, and that is, well, let's talk about Lighthouse, since that's up here right now. The Lighthouse Outreach Ministry is a ministry that we financially support, but it's not simply something that we send them dollars on a monthly basis as a church. We have people every week go there. It's a ministry located on Gratiot here in Roseville, and it serves hundreds and hundreds of people in a variety of ways. And some of you are part of that, and it's gospel-driven. That's what's so exciting about us. We also have a clothing closet twice a year, which we serve hundreds of families. Also, we have a food pantry that is going on, that throughout the week we are able to serve people. And the Good Samaritan team that also is doing some really neat things. Now, that doesn't speak of what is going on quietly within the small groups. What's going on within your adult Bible fellowships, in which there are some wonderful examples of how you have assisted people in needs. In addition to all of those things, you contributed this year almost $60,000 to the fellowship fund that has been a huge help in helping people from within our church family. You have responded to that so well. But the reason why we say that we want to strengthen this is because of this. There are, as you can see, a number of mercy ministries that are growing within the church family. And we recognize a need to see all of those tied together, so that the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, and so that there isn't anybody who falls through the cracks between someone saying, "Oh, I thought you were covering that, or you were covering that." So we recognize a greater need to see all of those needed ministries organized more holistically, so that we are effective and not wasting any of our people and other resources that are given for that. We also want to see strengthened this year our ministry to other churches. It's one of the reasons why we have, in the last several years, been intentionally creating strong relationships and trying to build those relationships with other churches. We are aware that there are a number of unhealthy churches in our area, and we desire that the ministry of the gospel strengthen the entire area. Many churches have just lost their way. And we believe that the most effective way to help renew these churches is through solid leadership, solid gospel-based leadership. And so therefore, we eventually want to see our internship ministry here grow. Because we believe that as God raises up good leaders within our church, guys that we can train and send out from here, it will give us relations, even stronger relationships with those churches, to help see them rejuvenated for the sake of the gospel. I want you to know, I just want to remind you what a treasure our ministry staff is. It was a bit embarrassing last week because, you know what? Denise has been here for over 20 years. She is a sought out and respected leader of women's ministries. Terry has been in this church all of his life and has been a strategic part of our staff for 10 years. Patrick is coming up on his 10th year anniversary as a student ministries pastor, a youth minister that stays for 10 years. I mean, And Brian, what an impact Brian has had in these 3 short years that he has been here. Keith does a wonderful job in providing care for the body. I mean, how many of you have received a phone call from him and prayer that he offers for this body? And of course, now with Nathan's arrival, it only illustrates the point that we have a hardworking, a capable staff, a team that needs to be utilizing their experience and their wisdom in training others. And I'm really looking forward to what God has in store for us in the coming months and years for that. And meanwhile, God has been pleased to continue to raise up some of our own people who want to be prepared, who want to be utilized both in local church and in missions, but in order to be able to bring in more interns, in order to be able to increase our commitment to global missions, we need to take care of our building debt. So one of the things the elders are asking the finance team this year is to develop a plan that we can bring back before you so we can pay off the building debt in 10 years. We want to strengthen our financial position. We're grateful for this facility. We could never do what we do without it. In addition to what we're able to accomplish on Sunday mornings, Connect Ministry is currently ministering to 650 public school students on a monthly basis who come into this facility. This school year, there have been 20 professions of faith by those children. We have families that we are connecting with in this community, families who are visiting the church as a result. Out of that, the school system is so grateful for the relationship and the testimony and the reputation of this body with the school system here. They have specifically asked us to mentor their children. We have started a brand new, it's just getting going. Best Kipros is just getting this going, a brand new mentoring program where we have opportunities to come alongside one-on-one students in this community who have needs that we can be solid and stable adults in their life because of the gospel. This spring, we're hosting a major women's conference here in conjunction with Michigan Theological Seminary. This fall, we're hosting a pastors and wives retreat. But beloved, if our building debt was eliminated or even significantly reduced, our ability to commit more resources toward internships and missions would be dramatically increased. And we need just to keep moving ahead in that direction and continue to see our commitment to missions and interns continue to grow. But we've got to take care of this building debt in a quick fashion. One of the things we also want to strengthen is our ministry staff. We are so excited of Jerry and Kelly being in Ukraine. Last Sunday, being able to hear from them, it's just wonderful. But make no mistake about it, we miss that guy. And several of us have added to our plates additional responsibilities in order to cover what he did. But we all know it's not enough. What we're trying to do is not enough to cover what he did. But at the time, and we're not able to see our way clear to do anything differently yet, but we would love to be able to see our way clear, to be able to replace his position, even by the fall of this year, if that were any way possible. Which brings me to our last area of focus. We want to see some gospel growth. We're very clear about this. We want to reach more people with the gospel. Do you ever get bored of hearing the baptism stories? Does it ever just drive you crazy to sit here and listen to people talk about how Christ hijacked their lives with the gospel? We live for that. And we have no interest in being stagnant in any way. We want to reach as many people as we can. in order to help others reach more. And so we will preach and we will pray and we will disciple and we will be the community of Christ. And we are praying that God will use the gospel to grow our church. And one of the things that you can do, because it's little soldiers that build big armies, one of the things that you can do is pray that God will use you to plant the seed of the gospel and water the seed of the gospel and have gospel conversations in the lives of other people and invite them to church. You can do that. It's not our programs. It's not our brochures and our banners and all of those things that reach people. It's your life. It's your message. It's our joy to make that known. So I challenge you. When is the last time you have had a gospel conversation with someone who doesn't know Christ? Who are the people who don't know Christ that God has brought into your world? He has done so for you to speak the gospel into their lives. Take advantage of that. That is part of our mission. And we are praying that God will use the gospel to grow our church so we can use our church to grow the whole family. We're praying for, planning for, encouraging gospel growth in our adult Bible fellowships, knowing very soon they're going to be out of space. But we still need, this year, we need to start at least a new one, maybe two. We're also praying and planning for gospel growth in our small groups, knowing that we need to keep training additional leadership, supporting and encouraging the ones that we already have, yet adding additional groups. We're praying for planning for gospel growth in the church as a whole, believing that God is going to use you as you speak to the lives of others, as we together corporately put on a witness to this world of the joy and the harmony that the gospel brings. But we recognize that if our current growth trends continue, that at some point we will have to look at adding a second morning service. But as the church grows, that may enable us to take care of some of our debt sooner, strengthen the ministry here, even as we continue to make plans to build and increase our internship ministry, to rejuvenate needy ministries, to plant other churches, and to increase our global footprint for the gospel. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." God uses that as a taste now to this world of what eternity will be like for the followers of Jesus Christ. So pilgrims, the game is over. Press on. Let's stand together. I recognize that some of you have not yet surrendered your life to the authority and lordship of Christ. And that is all part and parcel to the gospel, recognizing what Christ has done for you and how He has called you to respond to what He has done. by trusting in Him alone. If you do not understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you are interested and you want to talk to somebody about what that means, you've come to the right people. We'd love to have dialogue with you on that. As I said, I'll be out in the gathering space at the end of the service. You can see me. Check with somebody at guest services desk or just call the church and say, you know what, I want to talk to somebody about the gospel. We'll set that up. Take it from there with you. Beloved, we have a year before us, I think, that God has uniquely poised us to be able to carry out some just incredible ministry. Let's look to Him, trust in Him, be humble, be holy, be faithful, be on guard. Because Lord Jesus, the church is the most precious thing there is on this earth. Help our understanding of it to grow, our passion for it to increase, our commitment to it to deepen, and our guarding of the body to be a matter that we take so seriously. And I pray that you'll help me preach faithfully this year and all who occupy the lecterns and pulpits of this church. May we pray with renewed passion and confidence because of what you have done. May we work hard at building and establishing good relationships with each other. And Lord Jesus, may we not get to the end of the year before you come and just take us all home. We would love that. But until that day comes, we press on. Seek to be faithful. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.